Blain Swen, when you created the Improvised Shakespeare Company back in 2005, did you think that 20 years later you would have a website, first of all, a roster of over 30 names of company members on that website, and regular performances in Chicago and Los Angeles, and touring dates going around all the United States? Was that ever part of the original dream?
Well, I didn't imagine that it would turn into what it's turned into, I don't think. But I had a sense that it had legs.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Tischner, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 987, Improvised Shakespeare Company. The Improvised Shakespeare Company is one of Chicago's best-kept secrets, although the word is definitely getting out. At every performance, the Improvised Shakespeare Company creates an entirely brand new story, and all they have to work with are a title given to them by the audience, their own ingenuity, and the styles, themes, and language of the immortal bard William Shakespeare. It's always thrilling, always hysterical, and Blain Swen is the founder and director of this extraordinary band. In its 20th anniversary year, Blain was good enough to talk about Improvised Shakespeare's humble origins.
Originally, it was just supposed to be five shows in Donny Skybox Theater at Second City, where I was a student in 2005.
Perfect. And you were a student at Second City, and am I right that you were a student at Second City at the same time you were a grad student at Loyola?
That's right. Yes. So I was a grad student at Loyola getting a PhD in philosophy. I had just finished my coursework. And so I was under the illusion that I had a lot of time because I just, in quotes, had to work on my dissertation. So I auditioned to get into the conservatory at Second City and got in there, and they had this great space where students could experiment on stage. And I thought, well, I could put together a Shakespearean improv group and we could do a run here. So I submitted, you know, the paperwork to put on the group, and they said, okay, we'll give you five shows. And I thought that's where it would go. And then we would see down the line if we went any further. But it just sort of snowballed from there. We ended up doing an open run. We started an open run one day a week at the I.O. Theater. Sharna Halpern invited us over there, and we started performing there every Friday night at 8 o'clock. And that turned into every Friday night at 8 o'clock and 10:30. And then eventually it was Thursdays and two shows Friday. And then we moved spaces, and it became Thursdays, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And in the meantime, we had developed a company in Los Angeles, and we were starting to tour. By then, the tour had really gotten going. So it really just kind of snowballed beyond my control.
Well, I wrote about the Improvised Shakes for the Folger a couple of months ago, and what I tried to convey was how supremely magical it is what you do. I mean, all of improv I think of as a kind of magic, because we're watching it in real time. But you are using the words, the language, the style, the tropes of the plays and writings and poetry of William Shakespeare to create these narratives that go off in the directions they go off. They're not planned. They're not structured. They're not thought of beforehand. You create them in the moment, and the audience watches you. And there's something about that alchemical magic between what you're doing and what the audience is seeing, and that energy is... I've seen you dozens of times over the years, and you guys never fail to disappoint and be hysterical as you do it. Damn it, Blain Swen, how do you do that?
That's a really generous and beautiful question. Thank you very much. How is the show done generally? I mean, I think that I love that you talk about the connection with the audience. I think one thing that we're going for there, I think that the improv in particular has this power. I think that sometimes the hardest laughs I've ever had are in a circle of friends. And we're at a bar, or we're sitting around a campfire, or whatever it is, and we're just laughing until we cry, and with just inside jokes that we have among in our friendship. And I think that there is something about improv where you can sort of create a room of friends for 90 minutes where we are all in on this experience together. Nobody else in the world is in on this experience. And for these 90 minutes, only we in this room have these inside jokes together, and you do callbacks, and everybody in the room is in on the joke, and we're having this experience of friendship, laughter, and joy together. And the audience's engagement with the show, and not just our show, but I think with improv in general, is more active because it's you know it's not planned out. So you're not sort of passively receiving what was written for you. You're instead sort of engaging your imagination and where it could go next, because anything is possible, you know. And I, so I think there's that is part of the magic of the experience. And then if you layer on top of that, the fact that we're doing something that the audience is already familiar with, in that they're familiar with the style of Shakespeare and the tropes that are in Shakespeare, and they're familiar with narrative storytelling, then, you know, they're engaged in, okay, where might this go in the narrative, and where might this go in the narrative in Shakespearean style, and there's a framework for engaging your imagination and visualizing the stage picture and developing the scene.
Well, an improvisation is such a high wire act already. And then when you add in improvising in rhymed couplets and frequently iambic pentameter, that wire just gets higher and higher off the ground. And we are like watching circus performers with our mouths agape. You guys will come up with a rhymed couplet and our minds in the audience will be blown because we know you just made that, to use a Shakespearean idiom, you just made that shit up in the moment.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'd say there is a little trick to anybody who's trying to do rhyming. I think rhyming exercises in particular, it's rhyming is something that you can actually practice and get better at if you work on it. And there's also a trick to delivering rhymes, I think, on stage. And a lot of people who have done any kind of improvising and rhyme know this trick already. You save the thing that you want to land on for the end of your couplet. Yes. So if you're plotting to kill the king, you say, now I do a dastardly thing. I go, my friends, to kill the king. Instead of going the other way, and now I go to kill the king. You know, and then you try to figure out how to rhyme it at the end. You pocket where you're going, you put it in your back pocket. And if you do that, it's amazing. You could even gibberish the top half of your rhyme, and it still kind of looks impressive. Like, bobbledy boobledy bing, I'm going to kill the king. And it looks like, oh, he knew where he was going. He was in control the whole time. But if you do, I'm going to kill the king, bobbledy boobledy bing, they go, oh, went off the rails there, you know, so.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Well, and you sort of, the structure of your shows, you get a title for tonight's performance from the audience, which you've never heard before. You repeat that title two or three times amongst you and your fellows and then the audience. So we all know the title of the story we're being told. And then one of your company members steps downstage and improvises, I underscore, improvises a series of rhymed couplets, prologue, not unlike Romeo and Juliet and Henry V. Where did that idea for a prologue come from for you?
Well, I would say that was inspired by a few things. Like you said, Romeo and Juliet, Henry V, that is kind of, that is a something that exists in Shakespeare's plays. Was an inspiration for it. Also, I'd say we take a lot of inspiration from the Herald, which is a framework for improvisation.
Improvisational structure invented by Del Close and developed by many generations now of his students at the I.O.
Yes. And every Herald begins with what's called an opening, which is sort of an initial engagement of the suggestion that you've gotten sort of a brainstorming experience that is usually done by a group, and where you just kind of explore the initial suggestion. In our case, it's a title. So the prologue sort of functions as our opening. It's an opportunity to engage a brainstorm on the topic that we've been given. So that person who is the prologue is really kind of exploring, you know, themes that might pop up or references that come to mind based on the suggestion.
And he or she does this without consulting you guys. You know?
Yes, that's right. The person who's inspired just steps forward and goes for it. And the prologue is something that now we do 100% of the time. It's just kind of part of our show. There's going to be a prologue. It's not something that was originally in the show in 2005 when we started it. Something that I discovered and said, this is a great way to start off the show. And the reason it was working was it functioned to call back to something Shakespeare would do. It also functioned as an opening, like in a herald. It also gave the audience time to attune and translate, you know, so they have the whole prologue to start to get in the rhythm of the Shakespearean language and how we're going to talk for the rest of the show. Then by the end of the prologue, we're off and running and we're in the scene and the audience is already in that I'm going to listen to Shakespearean dialogue mindset. And then on top of that, like you said, it is kind of a magic trick to see somebody stand up there by themselves and just do a long series of rhyming couplets on a topic they've just been given. And so it's a really fun and impressive way to start the show, especially the way so many of the players do it, which is just extraordinary.
I mean, right? That would be worth the prologue. Could be worth the price of admission alone some nights because it's so good. And the prologue always ends with a rhyming couplet that includes the title, to repeat the title of tonight's performance, and then every performance I've seen concludes with another rhymed couplet, sort of epilogue, but sort of summation that also includes the title. And that was also, if I'm remembering correctly, that was also something that developed over time, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. That was it. That developed over time as a way for us to cue the technician to pull the lights. So we were doing shows originally and the lights would kind of get pulled at the technician's discretion. And sometimes it get pulled, a little before the narrative was over. Or we would finish and wait, and then no lights, so we'd do a little extra. So we just developed the epilogue, which is when the story is done, we're going to do a long series of rhyming couplets, hearkening back the themes of the show or commenting on the actions that you've seen on stage, maybe bringing back some of the jokes or running bits that we've referenced. And the last rhyme of our play is always the title of the show. And when the tech hears the title of the show, they know to pull the lights. It also is a fun button as a reminder to the audience that this whole thing was created starting with the seed of this title. And it's a nice reminder right at the end of what we started with and how we got everything that we got.
Hi, this is Sharna Halpern, producer and director of I.O., formerly Improv Olympic, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month, we'll perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd, in Olympia on December 4th, and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th, as well as the Reeser Center in Beaverton, Oregon on December 10th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Blaine Swen, the founder and director of the Improvised Shakespeare Company. And I love that you call callbacks, which is a call, it's a joke or a reference that refers to a joke that was said earlier. And that's a term of art we use here in the comedy biz, a callback. You call them an inside joke, which is, of course they are. I've never thought of it that way, but of course they're inside jokes. And you're right. It does create this community of audience and players that where we are all on the same page. We are all part of the same community, all enjoying this thing and part of its creation in real time.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to know that they're inside jokes, all you have to do is try to describe the show you've seen to somebody who wasn't there. then you'll get to that place where you're like, well, you had to be there. And then, you know, okay, it was a room full of inside jokes. Yeah.
I'm also fascinated by this notion that you started taking classes at Second City while you were a PhD student in philosophy. And then you ended up doing five improvised Shakespeare shows. It occurs to me that one could do five improvised performances while a single philosophy student was forming a question.
Because yes.
They are so slow and methodical and thoughtful. How does that work in your brain? Is that a real left side, right side kind of activity in your brain? But because you are able to come up with, you're clearly thoughtful and you thought about this and you ruminate about the philosophy of what we do. But also on stage, you're coming up with stuff right away. Is that a hard switch for you to make?
That's a really good question. You know, it's true that in all of my experience with philosophy has been slow and deliberate, and you're trying to contemplate the truth and goodness and beauty, and you are looking for what's correct. And so you'll parse your sentences, and you'll say, oh, this isn't quite true. There's a counterfactual here. So let's find something that's true. Let's keep going. And it takes a lot of marinating and a lot of time and a lot of sort of meditation. And there is a freedom on stage when there is no right answer. You know, there is no right answer and there's not a wrong answer. There's just creating. Let's go. And, you know, and let's be inspired, and then let's build on one another's ideas. Whatever gets put out on stage, let's support it. We're not editing that idea. We're taking it and we're saying, this is great. Let's build on it, you know? And there's something liberating and freeing about that, I think. So that's probably something that draws me to improv for sure.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Improvised Shakespeare Company performs every Friday and Saturday night at the IO Theater in Chicago and has upcoming performances in LA, DC, San Francisco, Texas, and the MacArthur Theater in Princeton. Go to improvisedshakespeare.com for more information. Then send us your favorite Shakespeare play that Shakespeare never wrote via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com, or through a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Extempore from his mother wit, Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Matt Sachs. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Sharna Halpern, the founding mother of Chicago's IO Theater. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 987 2961st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Improvised Shakespeare performances every weekend at the IO Theater in Chicago are one of my secret Chicago suggestions that I share with out-of-towners who are coming. Because, you know, I'll go to Steppenwolf. I'll go to the Goodman. I'll go to Second City. Yeah, no, you should be going to Improvised Shakespeare. And now you can be seen sort of around the country too, right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So we are also on tour, which you can check out. You know, it's a constantly evolving tour. So improvisedshakespeare.com, and you can check out where we're going to be next.
I would happily talk to you for hours about this stuff, but then I'd have to edit all down to a manageable length, and that's ridiculous.
Hey, maybe we do a part two sometime.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
On the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, great.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.